Good afternoon. Joyous Sabbath. What a wonderful week. We welcome our guests and visitors. We sincerely hope you'll come back, see us often. This week, my wife couldn't move without extreme pain in her right knee, so I became her caregiver. She was pretty well stuck to one chair for a week. Let's move into the topic for today. Would achieving astonishing and astounding spiritual growth delight you? It would me. For converted members of God's church, being able to bear much fruit, to glorify God, as John 15, verse 8 mentions, would bring us a great deal of spiritual joy and satisfaction. Is it just me that doesn't seem to be making great strides in this regard? Or do many of us tend to reach a slow-growing plateau in our growth and make little subsequent progress? Is it possible that we're overlooking a fundamental teaching of Jesus Christ and are thus stunting our own spiritual growth? Perhaps in looking for more complex instruction, we've never seriously considered Matthew 7:7 as a key to our growth, but it may contain the exhortation that we need to grow and bear fruit far beyond what we have achieved or ever imagined. In Matthew 7:7, I'm turning there, it reads, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. And knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." I've always believed this verse applied potentially to being called by God. As I watched my mother seek the God of the Bible for years and years before she was finally called into the Church of God. This was better by far than finding a genie in a bottle who grants wishes, as God is the most powerful being in the whole universe. Jeremiah 29, verses 12 and 13 say, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Also, prior to Jesus' ministry and the New Testament, Solomon asked God for wisdom and became the wisest man of all time, at least for a while. We know that Jesus spoke in parables to the multitudes to prevent their understanding, yet he reveals to his disciples the meaning of his words. Maybe we should regard Matthew 7:7 as a kind of parable, a saying containing a meaning beyond its simple exterior. If so, we must then ask ourselves, what exactly is Jesus telling us to ask for? Many, among them preachers of the prosperity gospel, believe that the focus of this verse is on receiving things. That is, we will get whatever we ask for, as long as we ask according to God's will. While this is a true principle, if put in terms of materialism, it misses the real point Jesus intended, because he never appeals to our vanity or instructs us to satisfy human nature's selfish desires. As Herbert Armstrong often reminded us, God's way of life is the give way, not the get way. Thus the matter is cloaked in parable-like hidden meaning or mystery. Upon examining the context, we find Jesus giving instructions on many things, but for what does he instruct us to request for ourselves from God? Notice what he tells us to ask for in Matthew 6, verse 11. Part of what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, his model prayer designed to teach us how to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Matthew 6, verse 11 is, give us this day our daily bread. This is apparently the only material request in the entire model prayer. All the other requests are for spiritual aid, such as forgiveness, protection, guidance. With this in mind, is Jesus telling us to ask for physical food every day? I don't think so. A literal meaning is often the most likely understanding, yet the continuing context of the chapter suggests he had spiritual matters on his mind. Just a few verses later in Matthew 6, 25 and 26, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? The close proximity of these instructions makes it clear that in telling us to ask God for our daily bread, Jesus does not have in mind physical food foremost. What then is this bread that we are to ask for? John 6, verse 35. John 6, 35 provides the answer. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. The Bible uses the word bread to mean that which is taken into the body and provides nourishment. Scripture presents two basic types of bread, leavened and unleavened. Leavening consistently symbolizes the corruption of sin. For instance, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8 mentions the leaven of malice and wickedness. Thus, a Christian has a choice of spiritual nourishment that he can take into himself. He can choose sinless, healthful bread, the bread of life, or sinful, corrupting bread. This latter bread comes in a range of varieties, from sinful and unhealthy to evil and downright poisonously deadly bread. The manna in which God fed the Israelites while they journeyed through the wilderness was symbolic of Christ, the bread of life. The account of the giving of the manna in Exodus 16 shows that the Israelites had a part to play in receiving nourishment from it. They were required to rise early and gather their daily amount of bread before the sun became hot and melted it away, or they would go hungry for that day, and perhaps the next day if it were a preparation day for the Sabbath. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is instructing his followers to rise early every day and ask God to send the unleavened, sinless bread of life to dwell in them. Without the indwelling of Christ through God's Spirit, there is no spiritual life in us, according to John, chapter 6, verses 53 through 58. But with God's Spirit, we can produce much fruit and live forever. Why is it important that we ask each and every day for this? It's important because God, in his concern to preserve our free moral agency, will not enter in and live in us on a daily basis uninvited. God is not like an evil demon that will possess us and take control of our lives against our will. He wants us to choose willingly to believe and obey him and to seek relationship with him. Like a boat trying to dock against the tide, if we do not actively pursue God, then we will slowly drift away from him. The cares and pulls of this world seem to distract us easily, and we lose our focus on God. If we're ignoring him, God may soon become unsure whether we are still choosing to walk with him. He will try to get our attention back to where it should be, on him and his righteousness, through trials or other circumstances. Yet ultimately, in order not to override our choice in the matter, God will allow us to slip away unless we repent and actively seek him and ask for his Spirit daily. Without God's Spirit in us, we're trying to live and overcome on our own, a losing proposition. If Jesus himself says, I can myself do nothing, what chance do we have to overcome Satan and sin without Christ in us? How does God's Spirit help us to overcome? Back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because of their disobedience, an attitude, a spirit of sin and rebellion entered into them and separated them from God. That spirit is enmity against God. It is a poison, a spiritual disease that contaminates each individual as he adjusts to a sin-filled world and makes the same poor choices that Adam and Eve made. However, once God calls a person, if he allows God to humble him, then upon repentance, he is prepared for the indwelling of God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the antidote for the noxious, evil spirit of sin that humanity has followed since the Garden of Eden. Our carnal spirit, mimicking the attitudes of Satan, is prideful and self-serving, but God's pure and powerful spirit can heal us and make it possible for us to keep God's law by dissolving our proud, selfish nature. Once this process has begun, we can then begin to bear the fruits of the Spirit that God wants for us. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 tell us about those fruits. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Yet we cannot take the indwelling of God's Spirit for granted. For instance, when David sinned with Bathsheba and conspired in the death of Uriah the Hittite, he drifted from God for several months at least. For it was not until around the time that the baby was born that the prophet Nathan shocked the king into awareness of what he had done. In his Psalm of Repentance, Psalm 51, verses 10 and 11, he cries, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. He realized that by his neglect of seeking God daily, he had been dangerously close to losing all contact with God. Thus he asked God to renew his spirit within him and not take it away. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul also speaks of renewing God's Spirit in us. He writes in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Speaking of a new man again in Ephesians 4, verses 22 and 24, he instructs us, put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Clearly, God wants us to be in contact with him every day by his Spirit for our own good. Notice Ezekiel 36. Verses 25 through 27. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. This prophecy refers to the millennium and beyond, when Satan will be bound and thus rendered ineffective in spreading his evil attitudes. At that time, God will repair the damage, first done in the Garden of Eden and in every human heart since, by replacing man's human nature with his spirit. He will work to change man's heart from a hard, unyielding one to a soft, humble one that will be eager to hear and obey God. Notice that Ezekiel prophesies that God's Spirit will cause people to walk in his statutes and keep his judgment. God's Spirit provides both motivation and strength to do what is good and right. We do God's work, believing, obeying, overcoming, growing, producing fruit. Not by our power and abilities, but by His Spirit. It is readily, freely, abundantly available to those who have believed, been baptized, and have received the earnest of the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. But as we have seen, that's not the end of the matter. We must continually request God present in us, our daily bread of life, by His Spirit. We must ask, seek, and knock, constantly pursuing God, His kingdom, and His righteousness. If we do this, He promises to add all these things, our daily needs. Jesus tells His disciples just before His arrest, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." That's John 15, verse 5. So in conclusion, what are we doing by asking for daily bread? We're asking for daily bread as for the means to achieve astonishing spiritual growth, by asking for God's Spirit in us daily, which enables astounding spiritual growth and the bearing of much spiritual fruit. If we request His presence in us each day and obey Him in faith, we will, by His power, produce astonishing spiritual growth and fruit, delighting us and Him and giving us joy.